Chad here. Thanks for listening to Script Prompt 2. We had an issue with one of our tracks for this episode. We're still working out some of the kinks of recording remotely. Thank you for your understanding and continued listening. Enjoy the show.
Are you cheating on us, Chad?
I'm getting our name. It's like...
Did you mention Paul and Sam on these?
I did not mention you. I'm sorry.
Son of a bitch, you're not getting our names out.
Yeah, I can't believe it. If you're going to cheat on us, at least mention us.
It's cheating for
good... You got to call out our name at least once.
It's cheating for good, though. You know, I'm just trying to get our seed out there, and you can't get your seed out there unless you're, you know, popping up in a couple people's podcasts.
All right.
Including... movie review podcasts, and I talked about my sleep paralysis and my lack of belief in all things supernatural for an hour, which was a very fun conversation.
Is it all things supernatural?
My belief, no, my lack
nothing
of
nothing supernatural.
I do not believe in any. I think supernatural is an oxymoron and doesn't make any sense. You can't have anything that is supernatural because anything exists is natural.
Unicorns?
It's
supernatural.
It's just a horse with a dildo strapped to its head. I don't see
trolls?
What the issue.
You don't believe in trolls?
They were probably very ugly people.
Well, like 90% of Icelanders believe in trolls. That is a fact.
They're real.
They are real in Iceland.
I saw one.
And I stand by the fact that I do not believe that even if trolls existed... they would be supernatural because they exist.
But if you put two things together, it becomes supernatural, right?
Yeah.
Like corn was natural, or maize, right? And then we put a bunch of strains together, and now it's supernatural. So you got to believe in corn, right?
I don't know. Yeah, like crabs and Old Bay. Crabs, natural. Old Bay, natural. Put them together. That's supernatural, baby.
Yeah, different example completely, but yeah, I get what you're saying. Supernatural.
Okay, if we
elevated.
If we redefine supernatural to something that is known to exist but is just supreme, then I love it. We're supernatural. That's great.
Yes,
we exist in the real world, and we're excellent.
No, I think it mainly describes like glitter, things that have glitter.
I'm concerned about your Old Bay crabs and glitter recipe. I don't want to eat crabs at Sam's house anymore.
It'd be sweet if Gold Bay. Yeah, gold like Bay. Old Bay, but but Gold Bay.
You're just going to be like sifting through all the bottles of Goldschlager so you can add your gold chips to
it. Yeah.
All right, this is Chad, and I am looking at pixelated representations of Sam and Paul on my computer because we are in quarantine still. And this is Script Prompt 2, a biweekly podcast where we improvise and brainstorm film and television script concepts based on random creative prompts that we draw out of a cup. I think we're going to get started. You want to roll?
It's your turn, right?
Yeah. It is my turn.
Roll it.
I'm rolling.
Roll, 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 roll. Roll, roll.
Six. Okay. All right, six prompts. We've been rolling like six a good amount, a healthy amount lately, which is nice.
It's a fixed die.
I don't think so. It just rolled a two.
It only does twos and sixes, man.
All right. Our first prompt for the evening is setting in the forest. For those who are not familiar, our settings are not the entire setting of the movie, but at least one significant scene of the movie should be set in a forest. The second prompt is... this isn't really a genre, but more of a subject matter, but I did put it under genre because of that. But we are making a vampire movie.
Oh,
okay.
All right.
What is your guys' favorite vampire movie on three?
Goddamn, Sam.
Goddamn, Sam. Favorite vampire movie on three, one, two, three, go.
Well, I have like a funny vampire movie, but then I have like a serious vampire movie. And also Sam's humongous burp is distracting me.
All right.
I'm sorry.
Prompt number three is Police Station. My favorite vampire movie is, I think it's John Carpenter's Vampires. I kind of love that movie.
Yeah. I kind of like always loved From Dusk Till Dawn, even though now it's a little bit aged, but I still love that movie.
Mm-hmm.
I really like What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, I like that one a lot too. And Let the Right One In. I kind of forgot about those.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dracula Dead and Loving It. That's a childhood favorite of mine.
What We Do in the Shadows is pretty excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Prompt number four. This is going to be difficult, but I think we can still pull this off. It is true crime.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Interview with a Vampire was basically taking like a true crime thing and then weaving vampires into it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think, I think true crime is an opportunity for a TV show. I think we should think about it a little bit.
Yeah.
We haven't really mm-hmm. done a TV show yet, but I think,
yeah.
I think
we did in the Patreon. If you want to pay to hear our TV show idea, go ahead and do that. Get yourself $2 and put it in the computer for us.
Right. And an extra bonus for you Patreon subscribers out there. I will be saying one number from my credit card every episode.
This is a real thing he's doing.
Non-sequential numbers from his credit card.
You're going to have to figure it out.
You got to piece them together, but
yeah.
What else are you going to do? You're in quarantine.
Yeah. Yeah. We're all quarantined. All right. Prompt number five is a crowbar. Not prompt. Prompt number five, but prop is a crowbar. And then.
You got that?
We'll go over
like a crowbar to like pry something open or a bar that crows like to frequent?
I'm pretty sure this was a prying crowbar because
I think you can weave it either
there
way.
Isn't a space. It's one word.
Let's say tomato, tomato.
Tomato, tomato, yeah.
All right, go ahead.
All right,
let's move
and
on.
And then it's a comedy, so.
Oh, perfect. So there can be a crowbar in there.
Or, crows got a drink, like, too.
Well, like the vampires turn into a bat and try to hit on the crows at the crowbar.
Yeah.
All right, so just to review the prompts, we have a genre of true crime. It is a vampire movie. Or movie or television show is based on vampires and it is a comedy. So a true crime vampire comedy. There is a setting at the police station. There's a setting in the forest and there is a prop that is a crowbar.
Cool.
So like Paul hinted at, it is my turn this evening. So
that's
I will
a pretty big hint.
I will be, leading the conversation, but first I'd like to hear Sam and Paul's ideas and see if they influence my own.
All right.
Well, I think there's a big opportunity here to have, if it's a comedy, we should kind of go into the vampire world, create that a little bit. There should be a crime that happens in it. I'm not saying it has to happen at a crowbar, but, you know, some kind of vampire society crime, the police station. You know, like that kind of underworld that's going on. There's a crime that happened during it. Maybe there's a vampire cop or detective that's like investigating this crime.
Are they like a vampire? Is it like for the vampire authority or are they like a official cop that is also a vampire?
I guess you could go either way, but I was kind of thinking maybe like the spooky world, a cop for the spooky world.
Yeah.
So he's a detective for like vampires, werewolves, witches, ghouls, goblins, trolls.
Yeah. So it's like that Hotel Transylvania, but like that's the whole world.
Yeah.
So all the ghouls and ghosts and goblins and stuff, they all exist in this world.
Okay. Yeah. There's an underworld. I don't think it should be like oh, we found the door and this is where everyone lives.
Yeah.
But like real world, they're all living. This
is just how it is.
Yeah. But they got their own like police detectives and something happened.
All right.
A detective Dracula has got to get to the bottom of it.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Are you going to weave in a true crime into this? What true crime are you thinking?
Well, I think so. So just to point out, true crime, I think, is a genre of kind of documentary, I feel like, versus I'm not talking necessarily about it's just a crime drama. We're talking about like a investigation, discovery, true crime. I don't think it needs to be factual. I just think it needs to be formatted in that kind of way where it's telling the story as if it was factual. Does that make sense?
You're not thinking like based on a true event kind of a movie. You're kind of thinking it's told in a way that's more of like a Netflix documentary limited series or whatever.
Or long-term series if you wanted to have 20 seasons about, you know, real vampires or whatever. But like
different events that happen in this vampire world.
Yeah.
Like each episode if it can be like an hour and a half long or something.
But it could also be a movie. So they have a bunch of movies that are formatted in that way too. I want to differentiate this from just like a crime drama. Yeah. But I also don't want to eliminate the possibility that it's fictional because I think that everyone knows, you know, the format of a true crime, you know, show. We've all watched those shows or movies with that are mixed documentary and and reenactments and stuff like that that kind of define what I think a lot of people think about when you talk about true crime.
Okay.
I still think we could go along with Sam's idea in that like framework though.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not that I'm going to, but
yeah, yeah,
we
could. Okay. Fuck you too, Chad.
What are you thinking, Paul?
So thinking back about like vampire movies, you know, you get like the modern day ultra sleek, like Blade kind of movies. You get that semi futuristic, like Daybreakers with Ethan Hawke kind of stuff. And then you get like the old Victorian kind of things. But what I want to do is I want to do like a fast talking high waist 1940s Maltese Falcon Black Dahlia kind of murder. And I want it to be centered around the Black Dahlia because that's an unsolved case of this woman who was like cut up like fucking crazy underneath like the Hollywood Land sign back in the day. And so I want to do it like that, but because of the time period, it's going to have some comedy. There's opportunity to do some stuff at Joshua Tree, which is technically a forest. And you can have some cool, like, 1940s, 50s vampires that are trying to live in this new emerging science and Hollywood scene. So you can probably have some, like, vampires that are masquerading as actors and twist it all around this mystery of this slain and ripped apart girl that was done by a bad vampire or like a vampire on drugs or something like that. And then, you know, weave in some comedy here and there, but like all in that old timey kind of style.
Cool. So what I was thinking when I drew these, and as I've been listening to you guys' ideas, and I had thought about something like this before, where it is formatted as this really crazy Tiger King-esque limited true crime series, right? There's just like crazy characters and it's all really funny, but it's not advertised in a way that is, this is fictional. It's just put out there as, you know, is this fictional or is it not? Who knows, right?
Yeah.
And someone would know eventually, but I've watched a few documentaries recently that are done in that way in this, and most of them centered around ghosts or aliens where it's just people putting out this fake documentary, but treating it like it's serious.
Mm-hmm.
So this would treat it like it's serious, but be funny, like very much like the Tiger King is funny because it's just all the characters are absurd and what they're saying is absurd, and it's just this funny experience, but also compelling because of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking that the vampire aspect of it would kind of be this string of murders that are happening in the town, and the blood is drained, and it seems like it's a vampire. And I don't know, there is this section of the community that, you know, dresses all black. There's a couple documentaries about these three boys in, I don't know, what's some state? I forget completely what it is.
Oh, is it the one in, like, in Arkansas?
I think it's
like
called
Paradise Lost.
Yeah, that. So,
yeah.
Kind of like Paradise Lost, where these kids were just, like, brutally murdered in the woods. And everyone started blaming the weird kids at school. And
the kids that, like, wore, like, Slayer shirts. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, like, super weird. It was just, like, they were into that kind of, like, heavy metal. That was it.
And,
yeah.
And wore black. And
yeah.
One of them may have gone to a Wiccan club at some point. I don't know. But everyone in the town just went insane and started calling them devil worshippers and making them out to be that they did this entire, like, animal sacrifice on these children, which is just absurd. And I think they finally got out of jail because it's been mostly proven without a doubt that they are not guilty. But
yeah,
I think what they ended up having to do is an Alford plea, which is basically the state did not want to accept that they wrongfully imprisoned them. So they made them admit that they were guilty without accepting fault so they could get out of jail, which is just like this crazy thing where
it's stupid, but yeah, they got out after, like, being in prison for like 15 or 20 years, like wrongfully accused as 16, 17 year olds or something like that.
Mm-hmm. So everyone is afraid of the people that wear black because they think they're vampires, and there's these murders that are happening that are vampire-esque, and then it spirals from there into this kind of craziness that I'm not really sure exactly where that goes.
Okay. I can see that. You can almost do it kind of like Doc Hollywood. Not you know, exactly the same, but you want to have, like, an outsider, like the FBI comes in to help solve this case, or the small town sheriff can't really hack it or whatever, because, you know, there's some weird shit going on that he's never seen before, like either drain blood or whatever, and these victims that they're finding. So you can have, like, these FBI guys be kind of like the main character in this wacky town of all these very weird, secluded Midwestern people, or you can go deep south or wherever you want to set this. You know, Florida's always a good place for crazy shit. But, you know, if you want to go more secluded, you can do, like, Oklahoma or something.
So yeah. They aren't actually supernatural?
So I think that there maybe is a vampire, or it alludes to there being a vampire, but it's not, it doesn't seem like the people there, to the audience, that the people that they're accusing are actually the culprits, right? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like this Stephen Avery type thing where everyone's going after this group of outsiders, saying that they're doing it, but it's likely someone else. And then we can,
there's like the town misfits or something that everyone kind of hates and everyone knows. They're just like, it's got to be these guys. It's any trouble that happens in this town is these fucking people.
And then we have a few other suspects in there that the show goes into that the prosecution didn't necessarily go after, and maybe there is, like, this old creepy man who lives in this supposedly haunted house up the street, and, like, hinting that it could have been a vampire from them.
Like you just see that creepy guy in the background of a bunch of shots, but they never question him, but he's always, like, carrying some weird shit, or, like, something falls out of his car that's, like, super suspicious and, like, relevant to the case, but they just never see it.
Yeah.
Like, the whole movie.
I kind of like that the docuseries doesn't actually talk about him that much other than, like, just being urban legend, but if you actually watch it throughout, it's just really apparent he's a vampire. Because, like, you see him, like, walk by a mirror and you don't see his shadow. And, like, he's, like, looming in the background and you see bats flying. And then, like, he walks out of, like, some alleyway. Like, I like that idea where it's really, it's, like, this subtle, he's a vampire the whole time.
Yeah. I like the idea of, like, the, like, documentary crew picking up on it. And, like, they'll kind of go away from the main story and like focus on this weird guy doing some weird shit and then kind of go back to the interview. So you just like, you get little hints of that throughout. At some point, the dude like attacks the camera crew.
Yeah.
So what's the comedy like in this? Is it dry? Is it, you know, what's the style of comedy in the yucks?
The yuck department?
Yeah.
Yeah. Excuse me. Yuck department?
We're running out of yucks.
I'd like to order a few dozen yucks.
Can you ship us some yucks post-taste?
Pronto.
Yeah, so I think that the comedy needs to come from certain characters need to be just really kind of absurd. And like thinking about Tiger King specifically, like how Joe Exotic isn't a good person, but he does make you laugh because he's so insane, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if we have a local like church leader who's just like leading this campaign against a local group of goth teenagers, right? That she's accusing them of being devil worshipers and that they are the ones that are responsible for the string of murders, even though there's no evidence against them, then we can kind of really play up that craziness in her. And then I like what Paul said about there being these subtle sight gags with the film crew showing what's really going on throughout.
Yeah.
And seeing...
Well, like, they do that in, like, Schenectady, New York. There's that guy who's, like, hiding behind a tree at something. Or he's, like, down the aisle in, like, the grocery store or something. But, like, you see him throughout. And you're just like, what the fuck is this guy doing? He's, like, always just kind of, like, creeping behind something, looking in on a scene. But kind of just never super prominent. But he's there, you know. You definitely, like, there's this dude here. What the fuck is this guy doing here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I like what Paul said about there being maybe this out-of-town investigator that is the main objective source of the story. You know, he's kind of the straight man interview.
Yeah.
And he came into town to investigate these murders and was confronted by all of this kind of craziness from the people in the town, the different people accusing other people. And then we show some of those interviews. We show, like, you know, some random woman saying her next door neighbor did it, you know, for no real good reason, right? She's just saying that he hit her dog with a newspaper once, and I'm pretty sure he killed those kids too, or something like that. Just like making these kind of insane leaps. And we kind of, you know, set up the details of the case. So in the early 2000s, five kids were taken out to the forest and completely drained of all of their blood, right?
Is this just like one event? It's not like over time. It's like one just like mass eating drainage of these boys. Like, it doesn't build to anything where, you know, the sheriff is like, oh, I had this suspect, but then his kid also was found drained, and then a few more and all these other things. Because like at some point, like the sheriff's like, I can't handle this. Like, I don't think he would immediately jump to, like, I need assistance outside of my department. Like, if it slowly builds and it's like, okay, it's been 6 months, five boys have been drained in the woods, I need the feds in on this to stop it.
Oh, that's what I meant, was that it was over a course of time. I didn't mean that it was, one evening. I kind of imagine this vampire as he doesn't have to drink every day, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a... You know, he needs a drink once a month, maybe. And usually he's a little bit better about picking his victims. And maybe the victims aren't teenagers that are easily identifiable. Maybe there's just a string of the town's derelicts and homeless that are bound somewhere. Trying to think maybe if something happened where he was a little less cautious on disposing the body.
Maybe he was, like, doing this outside of his community, and that's what kind of put him on the radar of the FBI. And he's getting kind of old or lazy, and he started doing people in his own town now. And so when then the FBI gets this call, they're like, yeah, we think it's the same guy. We've been tracking him for years. He strikes all across the country. And we've never had multiple people in the same spot before, so he's got to be here somewhere. So they come in, you know, guns a-blazing, waiting to get their hands on this case so they can figure out who it is, because they figure the guy's got to be in this town somewhere since there's been this cluster, you know, in like 6 months.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I think we need to create some characters around this to be really the comedic source here. So we have our kind of straight-laced detective who's laying down the details of the crime. And so far there have been, you know, 5 bodies found over the course of 6 months, and they've all been drained of blood, and they're trying to figure out some details. You know, you see some images, and they kind of go through the scenario, you know, when's the last time we saw this person, or when's the last time we saw that person, and there's some reenactments there. And then we need to come up with some funny, interesting characters that are either accusers or the accused. That's not the vampire, because the vampire, other than like hints, doesn't get accused through the entire show. Like the film crew seems to get it, but like no one actually says, oh, it's that old man who lives in the creepy mansion down the street and dresses like a vampire. Yeah, like the really obvious one, right?
Yeah.
What's the plot line of this? Like, I guess I'm kind of thinking right now the punchline is just, oh, it was the vampire. No one suspected him. Like, it's not a lot of drama there. There's no connection between the kids who are getting accused and this vampire. You have two completely different stories.
Yeah.
They never really cross, those characters.
Yeah.
They don't know each other at all. And the end of it isn't like, it's just everyone's oblivious besides the viewer.
I'm thinking
it falls flat.
I'm thinking it's not just the guy that we've been seeing the whole time. I'm thinking that it's actually the sheriff. And he's trying to pin it on someone else, but he can't just come out and say, it's this guy who's been doing it. He has to get an outside source to verify that it's this guy that's been doing it. So that's why he finally decides to cluster up his victims so he can throw the FBI off their case, because he's been going all around the country. The FBI has caught on to him. And they got close a couple times, and they're like, so the sheriff is like, I need an outside source to verify that it's someone else who's been doing the vampire killings across America. Because if I do it, it's not a viable kind of like source of you solving this nationwide crime spree. If the FBI comes in here and figures out who it is and blames it on this guy, who I, as the sheriff, can completely plant the evidence to point it this way, then I'm home free. This guy's takes the rap for all these murders. And, you know, maybe as, you know, a final nail in the coffin for his plan, he kills the guy, right? So he can get away with it scot-free. But then someone figures out that it's actually the sheriff. Maybe the guy who's in the background the whole time as the red herring for this, these killings, he figures out that it was a sheriff. So that's the big twist at the end. We could do a big Scooby-Doo ending where it's like, this is the guy. And he's like, no, I figured out. I've been tracking him too. It's the fucking sheriff. And then that's the big, whoosh, yeah.
Is this vampire immortal?
Is the vampire immortal?
Yeah.
He's old.
I want to say, if we give him like a regular ass vampire life, let's not make him immortal. Let's make it like vampires live around 300 years. He's winding down. He's getting in his old age. He just kind of doesn't want to live out the rest of his life in jail because he's a vampire. So he needs to end this spree in America and then fuck off and disappear to South America and live in the jungle and eat strangers that wander into the jungle for the rest of his retirement and the rest of his life.
I'm sorry, what vampire are you talking about right now?
The sheriff vampire.
Okay, the sheriff is a vampire too.
Sheriff is the vampire. And his plan is, because the FBI has caught on to him moving around the country and killing people, he's going to cluster these boys, get the FBI in here to blame it on another guy, kill that guy in the arresting kind of scene. So they can be like, oh, we killed the guy who was killing everyone. And then after that's all wrapped up, he's just going to pack up and fuck off to Peru, live on a beach, and start killing people that are never going to get wind to that it's him and put him in jail. He doesn't want to go to jail for, you know, another 75 years if he's already like 225 or whatever. He's like, I need to retire. I need to get it out of this country because it's getting harder and harder to sneak around. If we're doing this early 2000s, it's like there's more and more like security cameras and shit that can point to him. And that's kind of what he realizes in his roaming the country kind of thing, is the FBI found some evidence that points it to him. So he needs to point it at someone else before he can take off.
Yeah.
Because no one suspects him. Why wouldn't he just move right away? Why would he go through the process of framing all these people and committing more crimes?
And I also
to then leave.
I think that we're getting a little away from the kind of true crime. It's telling a story about something that everyone already kind of knows. I'm not saying that we tell it in a way that it tells the entire story, but what is being told isn't internal thoughts of a vampire that tries to get away. I don't know. I think that may be a little...
Well, he's going to reveal himself.
I think it may be a little convoluted for what we're trying to do.
It was me the whole
time. No. Like, he gets away with all this. The FBI guy was like, it couldn't have been this guy. Tracks down the sheriff down to Peru, and that's when he gives himself up.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a final fight battle between the FBI guy and a Peru vampire sheriff. And that's when he reveals his whole plan.
All right, what about this? I think for a true crime thing like this, you need a web of interconnecting things that are confusing and over, you know, a series, right? So if you're comparing like Tiger King, right, there's 8 episodes and they kind of web this story throughout these episodes. They reveal bits of information throughout the whole time that keeps you like, what's everyone's motivations? Mm-hmm. They introduce more crimes mm-hmm. as it goes on. I think maybe what if it's like a family or some kind of commune of vampires, right? So there's a group of them that are all insane and they've been around for hundreds of years. You know, so they're not like ancient, but they've been around and they've always went around America and killed for a while till people get onto them and then they move. And then there is also a population of people that are onto this and have dedicated their whole lives to trying to chase them down. So like an insane vampire hunter. So just like a guy who's obsessed with vampires and he's trying to hunt them down personally.
Yeah.
Or something like that. So there's like maybe a group of them that you could focus on. And then maybe there's just regular humans who idolize vampires and they're involved in this commune somehow and are helping them, you know, get bodies and drink blood and stuff like that. And they live in this town in the middle of nowhere. And then these kids get framed. So then you have a bunch of different groups and we're not sure what their motivations are or who's honest. And they all kind of web back and forth until you realize the kids were innocent the whole time. They're just kind of weird. This group of people here that maybe is running some kind of front has been supporting them the whole time. And the vampires are doing something.
Yeah, I like that. I was just thinking that if like the first half of the series talks about these kids that they're blaming as being, you know, because everyone in the town at that time in the beginning was convinced there was an ongoing investigation and then they end up dead themselves. And that's kind of like this mid-series kind of like, fuck you. Like this. And now we're flipping it all around on everyone. So then they end up getting,
and there's gotta be somebody that has a reason to frame the kids. Right.
Mm.
So they gotta have a reason, whether it's another student who just doesn't like them or something. There's got to be another kind of story there of why them, right? Mm-hmm. Not just because they're weird.
Yeah.
Because everyone would be like, who killed them? The weird kids. That's not like,
yeah.
It should be like a betrayal kind of story that explains that.
Well, there's going to be a lot of like overlapping stories and betrayal and someone cheated with this person and this is this person's a legitimate son. I was just giving you the end game kind of like ending. You were like, where is this going? I'm like, well, that's where it's going. All this other stuff, we just make up shit in between all these weird fucking things. And then when it finally gets to the end, you're like, oh, it was none of these fucking people in the town. It was the fucking sheriff that was hanging out with the FBI guys all the time. This was this weird, stupid ass, his plot to frame someone else, get that on the books and then fuck off. But he needed to solve this town because maybe he has a half-breed vampire son in the town that he also needs to get out of there. Because everyone's just fucking everyone, you know? So, like, you know, yeah, his son's weird and everything like that, and he hangs out with these weird kids, and he's like, well, I gotta kill one of them to make sure that, you know, these aren't the ones that are blamed. It's gotta be that weird fucking guy up there. But then that turns out to be a red herring, and it's like some lady that they were like, oh, it's this fucking lady. And that's who really did it, because she served 15 years for killing her husband or being, you know, or attempting murder on someone else that slept with her husband or some shit like that.
That should be a common theme in this.
But everyone's sleeping with everyone.
A new connection gets introduced every episode, and the whole reason is like, well, you know, Carol and Hank were intimate because, you know, everybody's fucking everybody.
What if there's a kind of coalition or a group of family members of the deceased, and they are the one that's really advocating and pushing for the main kind of suspect throughout a period of the show, the one that they're really pushing the evidence towards in the beginning. And so that's the group that's really advocating that they're guilty, and we have a number of interviews from them. Until there's that end of episode mic drop where there's some evidence that they weren't involved.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, somewhere towards the end, I want them to mention that there's a cult that moved in down the street, like the fucking Krishnas from Wild Wild Country.
I like that, yeah.
And that's like, it hasn't even been mentioned for like four episodes, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, who always thought it was those fucking weirdos that have the cult up the on the other side of the mountain? And then they're just like, the crew's like, what? What cult? What are you talking about? And then that's like another fucking thing that just adds into this weird town. You could possibly see like some people in the background wearing like a certain kind of like getup every now and then, just like not prominently featured, but just like walking by in some kind of like orange robe in the background. And then it turns out there's like this whole commune of this like orgy people that are being led into the mountain that are also part of this community that could be housing a vampire too.
Yeah.
It's like more and more weird shit that get on it. You can
more orgies.
Well, because you know about like you all those like fucking vampire movies, you get that one scene where it's like the electronica music in like a nightclub in Europe, and then it's just like sexy leather, and then they start squirting blood all over them and just like rubbing each other and have this weird vampire rub fest in blood, and it's like all that shit going on.
Yeah.
Has that been in anything other than Blade, or is it just Blade?
No, it's in quite a bit of vampire movies have vampire that, like, electronica, like, you know, rub and tug
body
fest.
Fluid club. Like a club full of body fluids.
Yeah.
Okay.
A bouncer who says, hey, where are you going? And you're like, what? And he's like, you didn't get your ecstasy. And then he puts it on the tongue. And they're like, yeah, that's every vampire movie.
That's all of my favorite movies. All right, let's process some of this stuff a little bit.
There should be a scene where, like, the vampires turn, like, an automotive shop into a rave.
Yeah.
And they're all just, like, having a crazy orgy in there.
Yeah.
And they're just, like, moving the crowbars.
Yeah.
Around.
The crowbars.
You know, making room to bang.
Well, there's got to be like this like faux vampire, like people who pretend they're like vampires where they like they cut their tongues into like the lizard slits.
Yeah.
So
shave
like,
their teeth.
Yeah, so like they're the weird people that are like they're vampire groupies that are kind of like living in this town.
Yeah.
I want to set this. There's this weird town in like Oklahoma somewhere. So Frank Lloyd Wright, who built all those famous like buildings. He's a famous architecture architect.
and a vampire.
He couldn't find a place for this one building. It was like, for some reason they backed out or they lost the funding to build this thing. And so there's just like no name fucking town in Oklahoma that has this really fancy, complex Frank Lloyd Wright skyscraper. And then everything else is completely flat around it for like miles. So like there's this like one rich dude who lives in this penthouse and people are saying, oh, it's that fucking rich dude who lives up there. And it's a very bizarre building because it's not like traditionally four walled. Everything is at like a 45 degree angle. So none of like the rooms make sense. And all it's all really bizarre, but you can have that be like rooftop electronic vampire dance club scene one night in this guy's like penthouse. And, you know, he's one of the suspects because he's so rich. He can fly around the world and he owns this Frank Lloyd Wright building in, I can't remember the stupid. It's not even like a major city in Oklahoma. It's just like a random ass fucking town.
Hey, do you think you can make jello shots out of blood?
Probably. Oh no. Yeah. It congeals. Right. So probably wouldn't be good. Tastes like,
well, if you're a vampire, it's probably delicious.
Well, it's probably delicious, yeah. They just like lace it with like maybe the only drug that works for vampires is like LSD. So when they like do these orgies, they're also just like tripping balls like fucking crazy. Like nothing weak can work on a vampire, so like alcohol doesn't really do it for them, so they don't really drink. You know, coke doesn't do anything, but LSD fucks them up.
Yeah.
And they just like start flying into the shit. And
what if it's coke?
So all these
and
could be coke. So they're like,
and somebody cuts it with garlic, and then they're like all OD garlic.
You can have these like a couple dead vampires, but like the killings are still happening. So it's like, yeah, okay, well, we found some vampires, but these weren't the right fucking vampires. They didn't have the means to like travel the country. It's got to be these fucking rich guy throwing the vampire orgies and up in his penthouse.
So, Chad, why don't you take all this fucking and put it into one recap here for us?
Yeah, well, that's not going to happen because that was a lot of insane shit that I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I don't know how much of that fits into one's cohesive story is what I'm saying.
Well, it's a TV show, right? So it's like...
But it's not it's not a multi-season True Blood thing.
Every show has that one episode that's like about the side characters.
Yeah.
That's that one. So this is just one about fucking in the fuck chamber.
It's a true crime show that is in a documentary format that limited to the footage that they captured and the
people there's footage
that they are interviewing and communicating with. And I think that some of the things that you guys are talking about showing are kind of outside of that, right? They're more behind the scenes of what's happening, and maybe possibly give away too much information in the first place if the entire show is supposed to be who did it and we have episodes and episodes about all the vampire activity. It's going to be pretty clear that it was the vampires, right?
Well, I think we're going to go into this knowing it was a vampire.
Yeah,
I mean, we're not going to not call this the Vampire King, right?
Yeah, I'm going to watch the Tiger King thinking Joe Exotic's innocent.
Yeah, you're going to watch the Tiger King being like, "Well, he's more of like a prince, maybe a duke." Yeah. No, he's the fucking Tiger King.
Hey guys,
well, this is going to be the Vampire King.
Don't put any of the crazy shit about Joe Exotic in there, because we don't want people to think he might not be innocent.
Well, one, that's not what I said. And two, I wanted to rewind a bit because you just threw up a bunch of shit and I don't know how any of that fits into this without kind of going through it all and talking it through. So I do think that we need to kind of talk about this like it is any other story and come up with who our characters are. We've set some framework for what universe they live in. They live in a small town in middle America where there's a vampire cult, which I like that idea. I kind of like the idea of like the weird other cult coming in as a weird scapegoat to everything.
Yeah.
I think there probably needs to be some sort of religious group or other human group that is pushing it from that side of the investigation, like who's responsible.
Evangelical.
I get what you're saying. Yeah. You can have some evangelical led by some mega church pastor who's, you know, talking about the damned and the righteous and shit, all that.
See, like a Francis McDormand type character, you know?
Yeah.
Real go-getter.
That crazy chick from The Mist, you know?
Well, that's what I was thinking earlier, is that character specifically.
Yeah. Yeah, you can have that going on, because, like, this is going to be a big ensemble fuckfest of weirdos.
Mm. Yeah, maybe. I'll stop.
Okay. then... Well, this is the problem we have, is just throwing out so many ideas. It's impossible to talk about them all in an hour.
Well, like, we're making an entire fucking show here that's going to be, you know, 6-hour-plus episodes each, so...
Oh, I know.
Kind of boiling them down with broad strokes, I think, is probably a good thing.
Well, that's what I'd like to do.
Yeah, Rome wasn't built in a day.
Is
we're not actually writing this thing, man.
We are not. So,
not yet.
All of the vampire sex orgies. We should put that aside for character development and overall plot of the movie or the
show. Do you know how many yachts the creators of True Blood have because of vampire orgies? I want a yacht, Chad.
I want at least two. Minimum two yachts. I got my summer yacht and my winter yacht.
I mean, you have to have your small yacht inside of your big yacht.
Yeah, well, that's how you do it.
The double yacht.
Well, yeah, the winter yacht goes inside the summer yacht, so you can still ride around in your yacht during the cold times.
It's like a coat. Yacht coat.
Yeah.
It's the Russian egg of yachts. Yes. There's like 10 of them in there. They just stack on top of each other.
It's a Russian doll.
Doll? Is that what it is? Yeah.
It's not an egg. It's not an egg. You can't crack it open.
They don't have eggs in Russia.
It's too cold for chickens there.
The Bolsheviks outlawed them.
So I think that there are a series of inexplicable murders that are happening in this town. And the police officers cannot figure out who did it, so they call in some sort of federal investigation. This documentary, the straight details, the straight men are I would think is the FBI. I don't really want to go down the route of him being this undercover vampire in this really convoluted way to disappear, because I think that if he wanted to just disappear, he would disappear, and I don't really see the
the FBI guy wasn't going to be the actual vampire, the sheriff from the town. He's living there. That's who I was talking about. Were you getting confused by that?
I was confused by that entire thing.
Okay, so the FBI is just a regular ass FBI. The sheriff, he's the vampire king. He was in disguise the whole time.
Maybe the sheriff doesn't want to leave because this is where the good orgy is.
Yeah,
I don't think any of the vampires want to leave. They just want to continue to kill indiscriminately, right? But they need to. Someone slipped up, right? They had this process.
The deal is like they live in this town, but they kill outside of it. But someone started killing in town, and Vampire King's got to handle this shit. And
what if the
getting an outside dude to come in and kill the one who's been killing across the country, when in reality it's the sheriff and a lot of the people in the town that have been going all around the country draining bodies.
Okay.
And this is finally where, like, they brought it to town, and sheriff's like, fuck this. Let's kill all these vampires that are in this town. I'll get the FBI to do it and help track down the ones that did it.
Okay. That works.
Right?
Yeah.
I suppose. And
then... because then there could be some other vampires. Like, so the big rich guy can actually be a vampire. A couple of his orgy buddies can be vampires.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so there have been these horrible killings nationwide, and there have been a small series of them in this town, and the FBI comes in because of the connection there, and behind the scenes, the sheriff is all pissed off because someone screwed up the deal, and now they're under increased scrutiny from the FBI. And now this town of vampires has to get rid of the federal investigation and following documentary team without any raised suspicion, right?
Yeah.
I think there is, like we talked about, a few groups of players involved, one being the vampire group, and their main goal is to not draw too much attention to themselves and send the investigation elsewhere. So the detective is coming up with alternative suspects, right? You have a vampire hunter group that is advocating for vampires, and maybe I think the first good part of the story shouldn't be very transparent about the vampire group and should be focusing mostly on the vampire hunter group as being crazies, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of break into the, oh, there really are vampires, and maybe these vampire hunters aren't so insane. I think that's a good reveal. I think we need to think of some of the red herrings and who they are. And I originally mentioned, you know, possibly some people around town that are, and maybe they're the vampire enthusiasts. Maybe they're the ones that act like they like vampires and want to be part of the group, but the vampires avoid them and don't have anything to do with them, right? So they're this small group of bunch of weird,
like the wannabes. Goth
nerd wannabes that want to be vampires, yeah, and they're trying to break into the scene. And, you know, so you got that group where they've been known to practice weird rituals and have their own weird vampire orgies and stuff like that. So the religious fundamentalist group and the police officers who are vampires have been kind of pointing in their direction. And maybe there's one or two in that group that are picked out as kind of the main suspects. And then I was thinking that maybe they don't get arrested, but they've been kind of directed as being the main suspects. And at some point, maybe they go to investigate what is a known or a suspected vampire hideout and get caught by vampires and get killed. So then you get this, oh, our main suspects are now dead themselves, reveal. You have the vampire hunters, which are portrayed as being crazy, but possibly right. You have the evangelists, which are also portrayed as being crazy, but they're pointing their fingers towards the weird goth kids and not the town's elite who are actually vampires, right?
Yeah, they should have like a false reveal kind of thing where, you know, the evangelical like leader is pointing one way and at some point they suspect him and they catch him in some kind of like weird gay sex thing, you know, and he gets outed because of that, but like he's not like a vampire involved. He was just like in their investigation to discover that this fucking evangelical person, like they all are, is just, you know, depraved and getting peed on by some people in a hotel or some shit like that.
Do we want to
That's like one of the false reveals. Like, he's not the killer, but he is doing some weird shit.
But he is getting peed on.
Yeah.
But so, like, revealing someone's, like, sexual desires is not necessarily, like, it's a scandal, especially for a evangelical priest, but it's not a crime and it's not illegal.
Yeah.
And I wonder if maybe what he's doing should be like something that gets him arrested. Like, it's more like,
oh, should be illegal.
Should be illegal. Like, is it like some sort
like
of,
they call him like buying children's poop. And then he has these like poop smearing parties where he like, they rub each other down. Like they pretend like they're pigs in a black market underground poop buying.
Oh, what if he down? Has like,
so it's not sexual. It's just like a weird poop and rubbing each other's stuff.
What if he fetish has this kind
sounds
of
sexual
elaborate
no, like they wrestle, like how they do the jello wrestling, but they do it in children's poop, so it is kind of sexual, but it's not like they're banging kids, you know, or, you know, you reveal they're gay. It's just like they have this weird need to buy and trade in poop and then wrestle in it So semi-sexual, not shaming anyone except people who buy kids poop to wrestle in.
I was thinking that maybe...
So they can get arrested for that, I guess. I don't know what rule this is.
I was thinking maybe there is illicit sex activity, but the illegal and bigger scandal part is that he was like embezzling or stealing money from charity to pay for it. And
yeah,
so there's
I'm sure there's like an elaborate
prostitution and fraud case that kind of breaks out in the middle of this whole thing that no one knew about. So like this main advocate against the primary suspects gets all wrapped up in this insane fraud, prostitution ring, maybe child molestation, maybe not. It's supposed to be a comedy, so maybe we don't want to go down that route.
I think it's the poop collection. That's what keeps it out of being like a serious thing, right? Like you see him at all these children events and he's like hanging out with the kids and stuff like that, but it's all a ruse to get him to poop in these porta potties and then steal their poop so he can wrestle in it. So he illegally funds this by embezzling from the church to run these events where he poop wrestles.
I think that tracks.
They follow the money. Why is he spending so much on porta potties and inflatable kiddie pools? And it's because he's wrestling in poop.
That's hepatitis, man.
That is very gross. Very gross. Just to cover something comedy. Real quick. Obviously, we've got our comedy, vampire, true crime taken care of. I was thinking the crowbar could be used at the scene where the vampire enthusiasts who were trying to like break into a suspected vampire holdout were murdered. Maybe there's a crowbar in that scene.
Yeah.
Like
they break into the place and then instead of the vampires killing them by sucking their blood, they just beat them to death with a crowbar and that's like
there.
So it kind of throws them off a little bit.
Well, yeah. So I think maybe that murder of those two young adults shouldn't be so blatant that it's a vampire, right?
Yeah.
So it's not the same MO. We don't really know what's going on. So then we can kind of throw in some suspense on who killed them. And you can point fingers at the religious group. You can point fingers at the town elite. You can point fingers at like everyone. Maybe the crowbar is like jammed through one of their chests. So you think maybe it was the vampire hunters that did it, you know?
Yeah, thinking that this guy was a vampire.
But yeah.
They didn't do it with a wooden stake. They do it with a crowbar.
Maybe we established early on that like in the first episode, when he's talking about vampire killing, he talks about how it's, you know, thought that you have to stab them with a wooden stake, but you really just need to pierce the heart. So it doesn't, right? So you're kind of like foreshadowing this thing where where it could have been that they used this crowbar that he was using the crowbar to kill these suspected vampires who weren't actually vampires, right?
I mean, if you make that like a nonsensical ramblings from the vampire hunters, because they can be like, they've never actually killed a vampire. They're just like, you don't really need, a lot of people think you need a wooden stake. Anything to the heart will really do. So then you find these kids with a fucking crowbar in their chest.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
And then, so I think the forest, we could probably have other scenes in the forest too, but I think the main thing is the scene of the original crimes that had the FBI there. So
The kids are dumped in the forest. Yeah.
And then I think there's going to be plenty of scenes in a police station with our sheriff and FBI there. So I think we have all of our prompts covered. So we just need to figure out what the rest of the story is. And so where do we leave off? We have the suspects being killed by possibly the vampire hunters, also possibly the vampires, also possibly the evangelicals. You have the evangelicals being wrapped up in this charity fraud prostitution ring and
poop smuggling ring,
which we'll see how that pans out. You have the actual vampires, which I think the route we're going in, I kind of like, is that they're the kind of social elite of the town, like maybe like a lot of the politics, like the mayor and the the sheriff and like this is a vampire town. And they've done a really good job of covering that up, but some imbecile slipped up and left some bodies in the woods.
Yeah.
And you have the FBI trying to come in and figure it all out.
Yeah. And then you got the...
any other really big...
The cult.
Oh, okay. The cult, so the cult.
That comes in. Yeah.
So...
They're another...
Let's figure out what the... Part of it. So the cult is just some sort of like...
The cult's going to get mentioned like late, you know? Like,
well, I think that maybe there should be some hints that it's happening, and then they come into, so like you see some people walking around in like green robes all the time, and you mm-hmm. and you have someone mm-hmm. who you're interviewing, but you don't really know the entire context of their side of the conversation. So thing, and then it reveals that it's this cult that moved in. One of the things I really like that they did in Tiger King is that they, and sorry if this spoils anything, I'll try to be vague, Sam. but they did this whole thing where they tell you one side of the story and then a later episode, they come back and tell you the other side of the story that they didn't reveal earlier mm-hmm. with the two FBI informants.
Yeah.
So maybe we do something like that where we do kind of tell two sides of the same story from different points of view in different episodes. So then you mm-hmm. have like the first five episodes has all of these cult member things kind of happening all around, and we're not piecing any of it together. And then the fifth episode is just like, and there was a cult, you know?
Yeah.
So after we eliminate our, the two prime suspects, then everyone points their attention towards the cult because it has to be them.
Yeah.
Right. And then,
well, like I was kind of picturing like, there's this old guy that's getting interviewed kind of like the whole time. And, you know, towards one of the later episodes, he just kind of casually mentions the cult. And then you just hear like the producers of the documentary be like, the what? What? They're like, oh, the cult on the other side of the mountain. You don't know about them?
I like that.
Everybody knows about them.
Yeah.
They fuck.
Little green guy's been walking around the whole fucking time.
Yeah. And then we have like a whole episode about the weird cult happenings and how they could be involved in the murders. And then it really needs to culminate in the aftermath, which is the last episode, like what happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
To me, I don't think that there is ever a resolution that isn't obvious that it's wrong, but mm-hmm. maybe that's the wrong way to approach it. Like, so you watch some of these and it's clear that the Tiger King's guilty of some things, but there's still a lot of questions there about everything else. Right. And not even just like who else was guilty, but also the legal things involved in it and so on. So
mm-hmm.
maybe there's one kind of scapegoat out of the social elite that gets kind of pinned as a murderer, and not, there isn't a big reveal that everyone was vampires. And then that guy, you know, gets some sort of shitty trial or some other like evidence that or maybe it's just really obvious that they're just taking the bullet, but everyone is really just glad to get it wrapped up. So you have mm-hmm. this like clearly false confession and everything out, and it's just this huge big mystery at the end on who did it, because the state was, and the FBI was as a organization was okay with the false confession, but the one FBI agent who is on the show is kind of like, I don't believe this for a second, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any other additions to that? Because I think that kind of covers most of it.
Yeah, I think as far as like we could really plot it out
within
the confines of this conversation.
Yeah,
I agree.
You want to move into casting?
That's going to be rough, because I think if we were trying to pass it off as a 100% this could be real, we'd have to go with all no names, which we don't know. So I think we need to cast with names, but just pretend that they are no names, right?
Like a this person type. Like,
yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I want.
I think just the big people, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I want to see a Billy Bob Thornton type in this show.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure. I think the vampire hunter, the lead vampire hunter, I think could be a fun Billy Bob Thornton type.
I see that. Yeah.
All right. I'm thinking maybe like a Bill Hader for the cult leader, with like really long hair and kind of like orange tanned, super tanned, like thin kind of sex god kind of cult leader. You know, like a sexy dude, but also kind of vaguely looks like he could have wandered India for a few years before coming back to America.
Okay. I like Bill Hader. I think that could be good.
Yeah. For the sheriff, I was thinking the older kind of guy. I was thinking maybe like Sam Elliott.
I think that could work.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
I like that.
And then for the FBI, I'm thinking someone younger and plays a straight man, right? He, like, mm-hmm. the FBI agent is the one rational character in the entire show, right? Everyone else is just batshit. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What about Florrie Pugh?
I was kind of liking the idea of having a woman FBI.
Yeah, I like it too. Like a Jodie Foster. And
especially like as
Silence
the lead.
Of the Lambs.
Yeah. But like more seasoned, not like a fresh one, you know. Someone who's got, you know, it's got some years.
Yeah,
on
I'm
belt.
Not thinking like what 20, like, but I'm thinking like
Anne Hathaway.
That could be good. Ooh. Someone in their mid 30s. Yeah,
she got some like command to her. I like that.
Yeah, she's got some force.
I like that. Yeah, that works.
But there's got to be like two FBIs because they go in pairs. So she can have either a dude or another chick as you know the counterpart. I don't know if you do it like a dude and a chick, then it's kind of X-Files-y. I don't know if you want to have any X-Files jokes play up in there. Or you can
just have it be David Duchovny.
Two ladies. Yeah, right. You could do David Duchovny, and then someone could comment on that occasionally. You know,
I think that. So we also keep in mind that this show is being told in a documentary format, and just because they send two people there doesn't mean that we're doing interviews with two people, and maybe the other person is just kind of around in some footage, or maybe they're not around in any footage because it's being told after the fact. So I wouldn't focus too much on that other FBI character right now. I think we have some other people that we need to cast, like the evangelical leader, which if we're going the whole embezzlement, sex ring, prostitution thing, I think that maybe a guy would be more appropriate.
I was thinking like Kathy Bates.
Kathy Bates.
Yeah, just like real sweet. She can churn butter with the sound of her voice, just like like straight honey in your ear. But then she's out to get you.
I think she should be related to the church. Like she can be like the wife of the main guy.
Yeah, but the guy who gets arrested should be.
But the guy he should be doing like the depraved shit. So it should be like a dude doing the poo wrestling.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the poo wrestler.
Yeah.
I think that's got to be William Dafoe.
Ooh. I like that.
I like that. He has the crazy.
He has some real crazy.
And I think him paired up with Kathy Bates, it's kind of it's vaguely age appropriate, but it's still just like a tiny bit appropriate, like inappropriate. Like she hooked him when she was young and hot, so they can have like pictures of her in their 20s, and he's like a just like. As 17-year-old kid, and like they're both played by like other really hot like looking models, like when they show the before pictures, and now we just see them as they're old and lumpy, and Willem Dafoe's got the crazy eyes. Yeah, I like that. And if we do David Duchovny for the side FBI agent, sorry, I want to go back to it at some point, you can have Anne Hathaway just like flip out on him, be like, it's not fucking aliens at some point.
Yeah.
It's like you can I think that'd be great.
I like it.
So we need to cast the two vampire enthusiast suspects younger, like in their 20s, like early 20s, right?
What about me?
Sam is a 30-year-old that can play a 15-year-old.
I don't know. I got a mustache now.
I've noticed your mustache. You're
I couldn't tell if you were trying to do a goatee.
No.
You got a little bit of the sides going there?
That's just how it does it on its own.
I like this
guy. I just
feel
like if you don't grow a mustache during a quarantine, were you even in a quarantine?
I was going to cut my hair, but then I was just like, nah, let's see how long this one goes.
So I like this guy. His name is Thomas Brody Sangster, and he played Jojen Reed in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And he was in Maze Runner and a few other things.
Oh, is he the main guy in Maze Runner? Or is he like that little twerpy guy?
I think he's a little
guy.
Twerpy guy. His name is Newt in Maze Runner. I've never watched it, but I think that he would be a good twerpy, tiny guy.
I agree. I like this Thomas Brody Sangster guy.
Yeah, I think he works.
I like him as the nerd.
Yeah. Or even the kid, Prince, from Game of Thrones, who was just in 1917. Tommen.
Tommen.
Yeah, those can work.
All right.
Do we want both? Yeah, do. That's fine. And then, so who do we have? The FBI. We have the sheriff. We have the evangelicals.
We have the cult leader.
We have the kids.
We need like the rich, the rich
vampire
dude.
We need some sort of
dude.
Rich vampire socialite.
What about?
I think maybe that can be Zac Efron.
Yeah,
the older but okay. buff kind of.
Yeah,
dude.
I like that.
Like a young Bruce Wayne-y.
Yeah, I was actually thinking Christian Bale, but like I think Zac Efron can fill in the same role. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that creepy like red herring guy that we're gonna see in the background all the time, Clint Howard.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Doesn't that just like scream so suspicious when you see obviously. Clint Howard? Like,
oh yeah,
that can't be a normal head. That guy's a vampire.
That guy has.
Look at that bulbous
guy's
forehead.
Eating a goat alive.
Oh, poor Clint Howard.
I love that guy, but goddamn his head.
All right, I think that's our cast then. And then we got to title it. Paul said earlier, The Vampire King, which I think is kind of funny.
I think that's the best way to go. Mm-hmm. It's topical. It's short.
Yeah.
It's sweet. And the people love it.
So Tiger King has a subtitle, Murder, Mayhem, and Madness. What could our subtitle be? Vampire King, Blood, Orgies, and...
Puss.
Come on.
Vampire King, blood, semen, and G-men, right? FBI, sex, and blood. Blood, semen, and G-men. No? Okay. So, I guess we don't want to have semen in the title?
Don't want to have semen in the
title. That was a very long silence of no.
I was thinking of an alternative, and I didn't come up with one quick enough.
Okay.
Vampire King, blood, murder, and...
Mysteries.
Crowbars.
Crowbars.
Vampire King. Ooh, blood, cults, and orgies.
Well, I thought we wanted the cult to be like big surprise. Well,
I think
like
there's
late.
A vampire cult and multiple cults. There's a lot of cults, so... Blood.
Oh, because you have the slayers too. Yeah. So blood, slayers, and prayers.
Ah, I love that. Yeah, that's it. Blood, slayers, and prayers. Okay.
There we go.
Good job, Paul. That's a winner.
Yeah, I'm gonna get my semen and G-men shirt.
Yeah. We need a merchandising part of our website, and I think that's
we start selling shirts, man.
You know what we need though? Any volunteers out there? We need to have artwork that doesn't consist of mostly Envato Elements licensed files, because you can't sell any of that on merchandise. So
so we need to do original artwork for stuff we're gonna sell. I can do some really good crowns.
Yeah. If we wanted to have merchandising, which I'm completely down for, we need to have original artwork for everything. So like our logo is original artwork, but that's not what would sell. What would sell would be our poster artwork for each of our episodes, and unfortunately all of that we cannot sell.
Okay. Well, I'll make some crude quick drawings, and what we can do is we can raffle off the drawings to our Patreon subscribers, and then we can also use those drawings for different merchandise items like shirts and bags and mouse pads, because everyone loves a mouse pad. Or cups. Maybe cups.
I may be able to convince one or two of my artist friends to help out if we gave them some commish, but I think,
I mean, I'm cool with having like a really good one from someone who knows how to do art and then like bad looking kid drawn one. So you can get original artwork or you can get better artwork.
All right. That is Script Prompt 2. Make sure you rate, review, and subscribe to the show. You can check out our website at www.scriptprompt2.com. If you really like what you hear and you want to hear more of it, check us out at patreon.com/scriptprompt2, where you can get bonus episodes, early access to our current episodes, and other content that we're given just to Patreon.
Maybe people can send us lines of dialogue for these movies. That'd be kind of cool. That's like the one piece of like a 72-hour fest we're not given, or we're not giving ourselves right here, you know? So if someone wants to write a line of dialogue for a character in there, that could be kind of cool.
Yeah, that could be a lot of fun.
Pick your favorite character from this movie or the show.
Realistically, we're completely open to any input and suggestions from the audience. And, you know, hop on social and check us out. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can leave us comments or message us. You can email us at podcast@scriptprompt2 and just let us know what you would like to see in an episode, and we'll do our best to make it happen.
All right. That's poop, semen, and G-man. Bye.
Bye.